It's time to get up. Starting. Woo! Let's go.
Here we go.
I present to you Pineapple Jack.
We just got on Get Up, so I'm not going to go crazy.
I'm trying to figure out who took a doo-doo on Merrill Hodge's front porch.
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, boy.
How about a little eye candy?
We feast our eyes on a fashion glory. Plate.
Your sport coat is eye candy for me.
That's exactly
okay.
Right.
That boy, bang!
Stephen A. usually comes in when he has a bone to pick with someone.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you looking forward to watching the eclipse, Timmy?
I am.
If it's going to get really dark, I just hope it doesn't happen while I'm putting.
The sun came up this morning.
You were 18G and I was 12 the last time the New York Giants had a 1,000-yard receiver.
Let Mel cook.
You just pointed out today's April 9th. Is that a Christmas tree behind you?
Let's take a moment. Let's relax.
And Robert, by the way, Happy New Year.
I'd love to have heard what he was saying.
It's three words and the first two are what the?
Bad.
These two are something else.
Yeah. Somebody's got to clean this up.
I need an ad, though.
Jack's getting it cleaned up. Be careful, too. You don't want to suffer a head injury while cleaning. Fun week on Get Up. This is fun. How about a little eye candy? This is from the PBA Scorpion Qualifying. Anthony Simonson is going to pick this up.
Ooh, wow.
And he gets a little bow.
Okay. I can do that. Whatever. I didn't get to see Monica the ball. Get out of the way. I can't see the ball.
He's
look at him.
Worried about
Boom.
That. He's
I don't think with 100 chances I could get that done.
No chance. 100.
What about two balls?
I can't even tell that it actually happened. First of all, because you can't see the ball. What type of voodoo magic is this?
Yeah. I want to know how it spun. And
I like
all
the bow.
I would need two balls at the same time, I think, would be the way to do that.
No, it would not, Gross.
No? I would not? I couldn't pull that off?
Please don't pull it off.
You don't think I'm an ambidextrous bowler?
Way too early in the morning for that discussion.
I can't even bowl with my right hand. I wouldn't be able to do it. Anyway, welcome back to Get Up. We are presented by ESPN Bet. We have a lot to get to here in our second hour. We start in the NBA, where last night, Jalen Brunson and the Knicks visited the Boston Celtics and took them apart, quite frankly. Second quarter, Knicks up by one. Brunson in a groove early and often, Monica. What do you think about Jalen's performance last
night? Tremendous shot selection from this young man. 39 points, an efficient night overall. He just continues to lead this team in terms of energy, effort. Oh, and by the way, literal scoring.
18 points in the first half, at which point the Knicks led 69-48. 10 minutes left in the third now. You see them up by 20, and Brunson's still hot from deep, Alan.
Yes, and he keeps smelling his hand, Monica. I mean, why does he keep smelling his hand? What's that all about?
You know, I asked him about the origin of this celebration. There's not a clear answer. I'm just going to go with it.
I don't think we want to know, but how is he so wide open? The Celtics defended him, picked him up almost full court a lot of times. But their defense certainly wasn't on par for what the numbers suggest throughout the regular season.
As Monica mentioned, 39 for Brunson. Knicks go on to win 118-109. And with that win, the Knicks stay alive in the chase for the number 2 seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. ESPN Analytics says they actually have a 31% chance to get the 2 seed. But obviously that means it's more likely they end up with the 3, which is still pretty good. I think everybody's chasing Boston, but if you're the Knicks, and Monica, you were there last night, right, at the game in Boston. By the way, good work getting here in time for the show today.
A little hustle.
Caffeine is kicking in, by the way, just so you know.
We're used to Boston kind of getting close and not getting there. Is this a sign that could happen again?
I don't think so. The sentiment around this team is they have not really played meaningful basketball in about a month. They've clinched that one seed. They are far and away the best team in the Eastern Conference. And the Knicks, quite frankly, this game mattered a lot more to them and the totality of the road trip. They came in playing with good momentum after wins in Milwaukee and Chicago, and so they just kept that thing rolling. Tom Thibodeau has really talked a lot about rhythm this time of year, and so I think that was their focus. Meanwhile, the Celtics have the opportunity to juggle the idea of rest for some of their stars. I will say, though, Dan, their starters played about 2.5 quarters, close to 3. And I do not think that it was intended for this game just to be let go of as far as a rest game. I think in the first half, the Knicks punched first.
It was a 30-point deficit at one point, right, in this game. And as I mentioned, they were trying some things with Brunson, picking him up almost three-quarter court. Different guys were picking him up. Yeah. Jaylen Brown, they were trying to get 8-second violations, whatever. They were trying to disrupt him. But you didn't see a strategy when it comes to whether they were going to trap him, whether they're going to blitz him. That they didn't want to reveal because obviously these two teams could meet at some point in the playoffs. In fact, I think if you're the Knicks, you want to see the Celtics at some point. That means you advanced in that postseason. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're not going to show everything. But for Boston, the concern for them has always been, Can they turn it up when it matters most? And last year in the playoffs, they played with their food a little bit too much, and that cost them when they got to the conference finals against the Heat.
It'd be a lot of pressure on them, obviously, to cash in this monster regular season with a title at long last. But when you look at the Knicks, when you look at the team that won that game last night in dominating fashion, you mentioned if they see Boston, that means they've been on a deep playoff run. How confident are you that they can do it?
I'm very confident that they can do it. Whether or not they will depends on matchups and, of course, a most important thing, which is continued health, as that has been the biggest story about this team in the second half of the season. In January, they were the best team in the league, and they looked like a juggernaut after the trade with OG Anunoby. But then Julius Randle gets hurt, and he's now out for the season. Everybody else got back, so they are they're basically 90% healthy. They've got to stay that way. But now without Randle, there's so much pressure on Jalen Brunson to carry this team by himself offensively, and the numbers show you when he's off the court, they struggle to score. So how do they fill those minutes when Brunson's on the bench in the postseason is going to be a huge story. How teams defend him to take him out is also a big story. So there's a lot of reliance on one guy, and I don't remember a playoff team that has made a run with just one guy providing most of the offense.
I feel you on that, but that's why we got to play the games, right? Like, sure. I think everybody in this studio today last year were like, ain't no way, Miami. Ain't no way. And we saw what happens, right?
That's true.
And so I think the mindset of finding a way, which is something that you hear Jalen Brunson and head coach Tom Thibodeau say all the time, is really true to how this team is operating, right? In their roles, you've got stars. Dante DiVincenzo is one of the best three-point shooters by volume and percentage this year. He's having a great year. Josh Hart, everywhere that team goes, coaches talk about him being the energy, and pun intended, the heart of the team, right? And so you've got guys that are willing to star in their roles. The difference that OG Anunoby makes on both sides of the floor and the emergence of Isaiah Hartenstein as someone who's looking to score a little bit more as opposed to just pass. And so there's a world in which it plays out. You got to play the matchups. You got to leave it out all on the floor. There is reason, though, to be concerned about the volume of minutes that Jalen Brunson
is it the Miami script from last year, a great defensive team that plays super hard, and then one guy like Jimmy Butler that can carry you and get you big buckets? That might be it.
We'll see. The one thing is, if they run up against Boston, it doesn't look, based on last night, that they're going to be too intimidated by them. So I'm sure they'd like a crack at it in a best of seven series. Whether they can do it or not obviously remains to be seen. To the NFL now, where 2 weeks from today, we will have completed the first round of the draft. So I want to look at what we'll be talking about on that Friday morning, the morning after round one. What will be the big headlines that day? Harry, what's yours?
For me, the Patriots are going to get their quarterback. You're sitting at a number three spot. I don't think they can afford to say, you know what, we're going to wait till another time to get our quarterback. Right now, you have a guy that's probably going to be the third quarterback taken in the draft, which would be Drake May. If you have an opportunity to get him right then and there, you must do it.
Dominique, what will be the Friday morning headline for you when we're sitting here 2 weeks from now?
Hopefully for J.J. McCarthy's sake that the Vikings trade up and draft him. As we talked about earlier, that's probably the best available situation for a rookie quarterback. And as I've said a number of times, that I think more quarterbacks are ruined than made in this league. I think that the situation matters much more than anything else. And all these quarterbacks drafted in the first round have plenty of talent. So I hope that a quarterback with that talent lands in Minnesota. They trade up to rescue one of these quarterbacks.
How about you, Mike T?
J.J. McCarthy delivers another trophy in terms of a massive trade haul to his old coach Jim Harbaugh at the Chargers. Here's how I figure, guys. First three picks, we know will be quarterbacks. Arizona at four stays there. Let's say they take Marvin Harrison. Now at five, the Chargers get that call from the Vikings for 11-23 and maybe something else to come up to number five to take J.J. McCarthy. So they win a national championship a few months ago, and now J.J. McCarthy puts a cherry on top and helps Coach Harbaugh get a massive trade haul from the Minnesota Vikings for the fifth pick.
It feels like quite a rise for J.J. McCarthy to get into the top five of the NFL draft based on, you know, what we were talking about during the season. Is he worth it? Is he worth a top five pick?
When it comes to the NFL draft, in my opinion, it's not about if he's worth the pick. It's about what is the market and what a team needs. And when you look at the Raiders, you look at the Vikings, you also look at the Denver Broncos, those three teams need a quarterback. So if they need to move up, in which we know the Vikings, they have two first-round draft picks, and if they need to do so to go get their quarterback, if they see a guy that they like, then you must go do it. So it's all about what a team actually needs, more so than is this player worth being the fifth pick in the draft.
I've been talking about this for months. Look, I've seen him practice behind Cade McNamara. He's lost one game as a starter, 49 touchdown passes, almost ran for another 1,000 yards. He has character and leadership beyond reproach. He's beloved by his teammates. All he wants to do is win in terms of he didn't try to force throws. He's learned how to manage the game. He's a great athlete. So to me, like, what are we missing here? I think he's going to be a great NFL player who can make throws like that right to his left with great accuracy down the field. So I'm not surprised at all. I think he deserves it. And if he went even second or third, I wouldn't be surprised.
If he went second or third, you would not be surprised. If he cracked into that top three of Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Jaden Daniels.
You know, Dan, when you talk to teams around the league, I think 60% would say Caleb Williams first. Some would take Jaden Daniels. And when you get into the Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, I think Drake May has the lead, but I'm not sure by how much.
Wow. Dominique, what do you think about all these quarterbacks going and potentially in the top five?
It's a gamble. I mean, it's the teams taking a risk, because if you hit on that quarterback, then you are an immediate Super Bowl contender for the next 4 or 5 years until you sign that extension. But if you miss on it, then the fall is not nearly as bad. You can take another shot in a couple years. So I understand why some teams would do it, but it's not necessarily the smart thing considering where the teams are. Like we talked about the Giants, but I do understand teams that feel like they are close taking a shot at a quarterback, because we see what position the Houston Texans are in right now, because they got it right last year.
Yeah, I'm just amazed. You said that you think he might be able to crack into that top three. I feel like that top three has been set for a while in a lot of people's minds. Would you be shocked?
Would I be shocked? Honestly, yes, because when I look at Drake May and you look at the upside, right, and how raw he is right now, and we know the Patriots have a stopgap quarterback in Jacoby Brissett, I think at the end of the day, we could be talking about Drake May potentially being the best quarterback in this draft class, right? So I don't see why I would take, you know, J.J. McCarthy over Drake May.
I would take Drake May over him. I think all four are going to be really good. I think we're going to look back similar to 2004, Roethlisberger, Rivers, Eli Manning, where they all turned out to be really good. I think these four quarterbacks draw a line. I'd be surprised if all four weren't successful.
That would be it would be unusual. We talk about that 2021 draft just a couple of years ago, where five guys went in the top 15, and I think only two of them are still on the team that drafted them. So we'll see. As Dominique said, it is a risk, but it's a risk teams often feel good about taking. When we come back, here's another quarterback, Tom Brady. Could he pull an MJ and make a comeback? You won't believe what he had to say when asked that very question. Plus, should the Cowboys be thinking about drafting Dak Prescott's replacement in this month's draft? We've got somebody here on set who says yes. Find out who that is when we come back on Get Up.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from the foggy seaport, brought to you by Chase. And I want you to check out some baseball eye candy. This is from the Kansas City Royals game yesterday. Bobby Witt Jr., you'll see him charging a soft grounder here at second base. Nick Lofton is charging it as well. He has to hurdle Bobby Witt, but Witt keeps his concentration and throws the guy out at first. How about this play, guys?
What a true definition of focus on the task at hand.
you know, under the new kickoff rule, is that even legal if that was in the Chiefs?
Maybe not. That's a good point. It would not be. I don't think you can hurdle, right, and kick a guy in the head. I think that's.
We love some baseball, though.
Yeah, man. It's baseball season.
Go Braves.
Sure. Get home on a Thursday and watch a little afternoon ball. Doze off a little bit. It's nice. Nice. Anyway, let's jump into some sound off back to the NFL. And this is our own Kimberly Martin talking yesterday on First Take. She was asked if she'd rather have at quarterback right now Jordan Love of the Packers or Jalen Hurts of the Eagles. And this was her answer.
This was tough for me because y'all know I love Jalen Hurts. But I actually would rather have Jordan Love. And it's not because I'm down on Jalen, but I think we already know what the Packers are. They are a young, ascending team. They are a team with a very young roster. And a quarterback who came into last season having to fill the shoes of a future Hall of Famer and having to answer the question of whether he can be the guy. So this season, when I look at the teams, I have a lot of questions about the Eagles.
Very interesting. Dominique, do you agree with Kimberly?
Yeah, I think Kimberly makes a very, very good point. I think I would still go with Jalen Hurts, but what she's saying is not crazy. I like Jalen Hurts a little better because we've seen him in the Super Bowl play well enough to win, and I think that's enough for me to still stick with him for now. I think last year's dip was a bit of an aberration. I think it's a little bit more to blame on the scheme than it is on the quarterback. So we'll see what Jordan Love does once he comes into a season with people preparing for them in the way that they did last season for Jalen Hurts.
Mike T, what do you think?
I'm not quite there yet, although Jordan Love, this is great stat from Hemo, from week 11 through the wild card, 21 touchdowns and only one interception.
Woo.
I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts because when they were in the Super Bowl, I thought he really outplayed Patrick Mahomes. He was the Super Bowl MVP, even though they had lost. That shows you his ceiling. I don't think he was ever healthy last year. And I think of all the signs and the move guys in the offseason, Saquon Barkley becomes a force multiplier from this standpoint. He's going to make Jalen Hurts healthy. He's had 469 rushing attempts over the last 3 years. That's the most of any quarterback. So I think a healthier Jalen Hurts is the better player.
Yeah, for me, I'm going Jalen Hurts. And we aren't far removed from him being the MVP candidate the 2022 season before he missed all those last few games of the year. He played extremely well in the Super Bowl outside of one play. But also last year, he wasn't healthy, like you mentioned, Mike T. And then when I look at the Philadelphia Eagles, if you compare them and the Green Bay Packers, the Eagles have the best offensive line. The Eagles have the best wide receiver group. Also, they have the better tight end. And then running back, you can toss up, right, between Josh Jacobs and Saquon Barkley. But I really love the addition of Saquon. And I just think Jalen Hurts is going to be a lot more a part of that run game that we've seen in 2022. It wasn't there last year because of the injury, and I just think he's going to be better. And he doesn't feel comfortable with how the season felt last year.
Oh, no, none of them do. Absolutely, in Philadelphia. And how could you? They were 10-1 and then obviously fell off a cliff. Tom Brady, you remember him, formerly of the New England Patriots and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was asked yesterday while getting a haircut whether he would pick up the phone if a team called him in the event of an injury to its quarterback. And he had a response that might differ from what you expect.
If somebody goes down, would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if... I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Wow. Stunned.
Right?
Stunned.
It doesn't line up with anything else he said for the past year.
And Graz, I'm telling you, 2 weeks from today, there's going to be a team that needs a quarterback, and it could be his Raiders. So, Tom, don't turn in the paperwork. You want to play. Obviously, you're bored with retirement, so... That is a massive, massive statement in my opinion. Because up until now, Graz, the door was closed. I mean, Kyle Shanahan came out on the record and said, hey, we tried to sign him a year ago. So to me, this is really worth monitoring, especially 2 weeks from today, there will be a good team that needs a starting quarterback.
Neek, is this crazy?
I would like to say yes, but no. I mean, I think, is Tom Brady crazy? A little bit, yeah. And that's how you end up winning 7 Super Bowls and going to 10 and being the greatest quarterback of all time is you have a crazy competitive streak. And that never dies. So, I mean, apparently, last time we saw him play, he wasn't like peak Tom Brady, but he was good enough that I think that somebody would give him a chance. And if that's what he wants to do with himself, his life, and his body, by all means, go right ahead.
Harry, enjoy retirement, Tom. Listen, we appreciate the soundbite because we get to talk about something right here on Get Up, and we're going to bring it over to First Take as well, too. But, hey, enjoy retirement, Tom. You gave this game 23 years. 23 years. Enjoy yourself at home, Tom.
Not a ton left for Tom Brady to prove, I don't think, at the NFL level. Nope. Is that fair to say? Yeah, I think he had a solid to very good career. Another veteran quarterback had some interesting things to say yesterday was Kirk Cousins, who's the new quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. He believes the 49ers is still the team to beat in his conference, and here's what he said.
I couldn't be happier about where we landed and where we are and what we have to look forward to, but this everybody's kind of looking up at the Niners right now in the NFC, so if we're going to go anywhere, we got to get through this guy and his group.
That guy there, George Kittle of the San Francisco 49ers, and I think a lot of people like the Falcons as a potential threat to the Niners in the NFC based on the acquisition of Cousins. But who would you say, Harry, is the biggest threat to the Niners?
For me, it's the Detroit Lions, and I love everything that they did in last year's draft and the culture that they built there and also set with Brad Holmes, their GM, and their head coach, Dan Campbell. They focused this offseason free agency on the defensive side of the ball. They brought in DJ Reader, a must need. They brought in Marcus Davenport to go opposite of Aiden Hutchinson, a must need. And then in the secondary, they brought over Carlton Davis, a truly, truly must need. So I think this team is going to be better. I'm really interested to see what they're going to be able to do during the entire draft weekend, because they showed me last year that they're willing to compete. Also, I mean, NFC Championship game, they were up 17 points at halftime.
They sure were, and that was as close as anybody got to taking out the Niners, that's for sure.
Guys, I got to go with Jordan Love of the Packers. Like, to me, this is easy. Again, he threw 21 touchdowns and one interception from week 11. They dismantled a good Dallas Cowboy team in Dallas in the playoffs and were toe-to-toe with the 49ers. And you think about just Luke Musgrave and Tucker Kraft, and then they go at Josh Jacobs. They're going to draft a left tackle to replace David Bakhtiari. They are young and deep, and Jordan Love is on the precipice of being a superstar.
Neek, who's your pick for biggest NFC threat to the Niners?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Eagles. I think that one thing that we can always rely on mattering in professional football is offensive line play. They still have among the best offensive lines in football, and they have a core that's been to the mountaintop before. And their major issues, I think, they've addressed in the offseason. They had some stagnant offensive plays. They brought in Kellen Moore to modify that situation. They had issues with linebacker and safety. They've begun to address those issues in the offseason, and I think they're going to continue to do that throughout the draft. And they still have a really impressive front on defense. So I think this team has shown that they're comfortable with that, and with a healthy Jalen Hurts, they could be the biggest threat in NFC.
Yeah, these are all threats to them in the playoffs. I think the Niners are going to face a threat in their own division, personally. I think the LA Rams, coming off the year they just had, which was supposed to be a rebuilding season, right? The year where they took all their dead money and decided to just retool for the future, they ended up making the playoffs. I think they can build on that. I think, obviously, they drafted extremely well last year. My one concern is that they have a first-round pick this year, and they haven't made one since 2016, so I'm a little concerned maybe they don't know what to do with that, but I think they'll figure it out, and I think the Rams are a team on the rise. One thing's for sure, it does seem like there's more interesting and good NFC teams coming up this year than we might have thought a year ago, which obviously is fantastic news for viewers of the NFL. We come back, we're going to talk some more NBA. Is it now or never for LeBron's Lakers to win an NBA title? Find out next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You are watching Get Up, presented by ESPN Bet. And it is time for Read and React. And you'll notice that we spell Read a certain way. And that's because our NFL draft analyst, Jordan Reed, who spells his last name that way, is joining us this morning for Read and React. Jordan, great to see you. Let's start with the quarterbacks at the top of the draft. Would you say that Drake May is the second best quarterback in this year's draft?
Yes, I would. I have Drake May ranked just behind Caleb Williams, who is my second overall player. Drake is actually my fourth overall player in the draft. When I look at the combination of the prototypical size of 6'4", 230 pounds, the arm strength, and everything else that I get in that package, I think he has a Justin Herbert, Josh Allen type of ceiling. Yes, I know the decision-making and the accuracy is scattershot, and it is inconsistent at moments. But when we take some of the heavy lifting off of his plate, which is what he had to do over the past two seasons at North Carolina, I think he's only going to continue to get better.
Neek, do you agree with this assessment of Drake May?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been confused for Drake May. He must be very baffled himself because, like we just heard, he's the prototype. Like, this is the quarterback who we always are told is going to be the next best thing. And it's not as if we don't have many examples in the league of this type of player with these kind of great, impressive tools with scattershot accuracy succeeding. So I think Drake May is probably more befuddled than any of us that he's been kind of slying a little bit in the opinions of draft analysts.
Of course, it really only matters what Washington thinks, right? They're picking second. Assuming Caleb Williams goes first to the Bears, you taking May?
Yeah, I am. And again, really because of the things Jordan alluded to, being built to last. I love Jaden Daniels. If we have one game to play, I'm going Jaden Daniels. But when you look at him, I love the Justin Herbert comparison, Graz. And 17-game season now, body type matters. 66 different quarterbacks started a year ago. And I love what he can do in terms of his floor and his ceiling and the ruggedness of how he's built.
So this gets tricky because if I'm in the front office of Washington, I'm saying to myself, I just hired Dan Quinn with the free agents that they brought amongst their football team. I think they want to win right now. And with Drake May, I think he needs time to sit, be able to learn the game a little bit more, clean up some footwork, release, all those things. And I don't think Washington can afford that right now with the roster that they have. New England can with their stopgap quarterback. But if you draft Drake May second overall, he has to play.
Yeah.
And I don't think you want him to do that right now if you're Washington.
Interesting. All right, Jordan, you said you had Caleb Williams ranked as your number two player in the draft. That tells me that a non-quarterback is number one, and I'm guessing it's Marvin Harrison Jr. Am I correct?
It is, and nothing has changed for me since the fall. And everybody knew in the stadium who was getting the ball when Ohio State's offense was on the field, and that was number 18. And we all know that the quarterback play was subpar at Ohio State last year, and he still was able to produce. I think this is an elite type of prospect. We're talking about Calvin Johnson, Julio Jones, A.J. Green, Ja'Marr Chase, Larry Fitzgerald. He's on that type of tier of talent, and whoever gets him is probably going to be a top 10 type of receiver as early on as his rookie season.
What's our wide receiver think?
I think he's the best player in the draft. Size, speed, can play inside, outside, could build the offense around him. But also, Mike T, I love that he's a second-generational professional athlete. And I know you've been in the front office. That's something that you guys value when you're looking to take a player.
That means we should be drafting your son.
You damn right about that one.
Hopefully my son's the guy that's going to be picking
us up. We'll see. Neek, what kind of impact do you think Marvin Harrison Jr. can have on a franchise?
Yeah, I think Jordan nailed it. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is like future Hall of Fame status player, and he's the type of guy that you can build an offense around. We always looking for quarterbacks in these early picks, which, I mean, it makes sense, rightfully so. However, I think there are other ways to have a great impact on a team, and we've seen it throughout history with a lot of different players at other positions. I think Von Miller comes to mind, J.J. Watt comes to mind, Randy Moss comes to mind, where you drop a player on a team and it changed the fortunes of the team going forward. I think that Marvin Harrison Jr. at an important marquee position like receiver has that ability also, and I'm glad to hear that we're not pretending like the only thing that matters is quarterbacks.
Yeah, interesting. But that does, in fact, lead me to my next question, which is about quarterbacks. So sorry about that, Neek. We'll get back to this. Jordan, the Giants are picking sixth. Once upon a time, they were picking sixth. They drafted Daniel Jones. That wasn't that long ago. He's still on the team. Should they be thinking about a quarterback at that spot this year?
Should they think about one? Yes. Should they take one? No. They need a high-end wide receiver one. They don't have anybody on this wide receiver core that eventually has the potential to be a top-end type of wide receiver. There's a lot of excitement about Jalen Hyde and a lot of other receivers, but when you need that prototypical wide receiver one, they don't have that on the roster. And as far as the sixth overall pick, I'm looking at Romo Dunze of Washington or even Malik Nabers of LSU. Mm. Either one of those guys would give them a true bona fide wide receiver one.
Look, I want both here. I don't want this to be an or. I want in. I want one of those great receivers.
You can't have both. They're not picking sixth and seventh.
Here's the problem. Daniel Jones has missed 23 games, and when you study it over a number of years, guys, as you get older, typically you don't get more durable. Daniel Jones, for whatever reason, cannot stay healthy. Neck, knee, and if I'm the Giants and J.J. McCarthy is within reason, go get him, because hopefully you're not going to be up there for a long time. You cannot win consistently, Neek, with Daniel Jones at quarterback against these great offensive teams in the NFC. Go get a quarterback, reset it, and go get a receiver. There's a ton of great receivers in this year's draft.
I think you made Neek's head hurt. Neek?
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Jones, part of the reason why Daniel Jones can't stay healthy is because you can't protect him. So to me, it'd be kind of absurd to make the same mistake again, where you're going to go get another young, talented, promising quarterback and put him in a situation where you're not going to give him a top quality receiver to get the ball out of his hands. You're not going to give him an offensive line that can protect him all that well. Saquon Barkley is gone and the defense hasn't been shut down, so it's going to be a lot of pressure to score points. Like, I think Daniel Jones may not be the greatest quarterback known to man, obviously, but I think that even the Giants would admit that they did not give him a chance to succeed. So for them to not learn from what the mistakes that they made for Daniel Jones and then to go ahead and draft another quarterback in a situation like this, I think would just be really foolish. But
I'll tell you,
yeah,
right,
you
want to
know why he can't stay healthy? They can't protect him.
I feel sorry for Giants fans, because if I'm buying a ticket to go see this team play, I'm thinking right now, who in the hell am I going to watch offensively? So they need O-line, quarterback, wide
receiver.
They need just about everything.
All right, so if you're thinking along those lines, let's say Marvin Harrison Jr. is the only receiver that's gone before they pick. Which receiver would you take?
I'm taking Romo Dunze, because of the contested catches and how he cannot be knocked off his path when he's mid-route. He's smooth, silky. I believe he's he runs like Jamar Chase. I don't think he's as explosive as Jamar Chase, but when you throw the ball down the field, you talk about contested catches, being able to be there for your guy. Everything doesn't have to be perfect when it comes to Rome. And he did punt returns as well, too.
Jordan, I want to give you the final word as our draft expert here. Same question. If the Giants have their pick of every receiver other than Marvin, who would you take?
I'm going Nabers. Just his electrifying ability, his ability to break tackles. And he's one of those receivers of where he can turn those five-yard routes into 60 to 70-yard touchdowns. And the Giants need that type of electrifying playmaker on the perimeter. Once again, they don't have that right now. Jalen Hyatt is a more down-the-field type of weapon, while Nabers is a combination of a lot of different things. He can attack all three levels of the field. I mean, you can give him jet sweeps, reverses. You can do so many different things with him. You can put him in the backfield if you want to. And they need that type of playmaker. The Giants do not have that on offense right now.
Yeah, I remember covering the 2014 Giants that didn't have a lot of playmakers. They drafted Odell Beckham. And that, even though they didn't win a lot that year, was an awful lot of fun to watch. Let's pivot now back to the NBA. And despite last night's loss, the Celtics remain massive favorites to win the NBA title at ESPN Bet. Followed by plus 160. They're followed by the Nuggets at plus 300. No one else has shorter odds than 8-1. So obviously the Celtics heavy favorites, as we've said. It's time to play a game of Believe It or Not. Alan Hahn, the Celtics are a lock to reach the NBA Finals. Do you believe it or not?
Believe it. They have the best offensive rating in the league, second best defensive rating, number one in net. Great three-point shooting team that will bury you from downtown. An MVP in Jason Tatum, MVP candidate, I should say, in Tatum. They have been the best team in the league pretty much the whole season, and they have been indomitable at home. They are a lock.
A lock, Monica.
Is that a lock sound? I don't know what sound that was.
Sure.
Sure.
That's fine. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, that...
Is it a Do you agree lock? With Alan?
Yeah, I agree with Alan. Yeah. The Celtics have been great. I don't think that that's going to stop anytime soon. I think Joe Mazzulla is more confident, more solidified in his role as a head coach. I think he's grown. The additions of Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis to me drastically changed this team in terms of a veteran that has gotten there and done it. Gives you tremendous versatility on the defensive end. And Porzingis is a nightmare matchup. Oh, and by the way, Derek White having a tremendous season, solidified as a Celtic.
I think if we go back a few months, we might have said Milwaukee Bucks might have been a team that could push Boston in the playoffs, but it doesn't feel that way anymore as we head into the postseason. So if I told you the Bucks will be one and done in the playoffs, would you believe it or not?
I would believe it. Ooh. The problem for the Bucks, they give up 51 points per game in the paint. That's not great. It's middle of the pack. It's not worst in the league. But over that four-game losing streak, they gave up 230 points in the paint. It was certainly a problem, and it is a big problem when they lose. Obviously, the big piece here, guys, what's going to happen with Giannis Antetokounmpo? Yeah,
right.
Is he available? And then how healthy is he, right? To me, if the Bucks play the long term and are concerned about the calf leading up to the hip bone and the hip bone connected to the ankle and all that, I understand it. But without Giannis, in my mind, it is conceding that this is about our future as opposed to this year. And welcome to Portland of the East, and that Dame Lillard will be tasked with carrying this team.
Yeah, their playoff prospects, if we can get a shot here, that's what it looks like. What's behind you right now?
Gray, gloomy.
Not great.
Foggy, murky. You really have no idea. It's
not
hard to envision anything if Giannis Antetokounmpo is either not available to play in the first round or at least compromised while playing through something that we all know is a dangerous thing. When the calf injury comes in, we all go back to Kevin Durant in 2019. So that's what it looks like. I don't need words. Monica, I know you like to make up words. This is all you need to know about
one word, and that's your reputation.
Prospects of
the
Bucks
lock sound
in the playoffs.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, the lock thing, too. I'm still trying to figure
sound
it out.
I thought
it worked just fine, personally. I want to go to the Western Conference now. If I said the Lakers will return to the Western Conference Finals, Alan, would you believe it or not?
Not, and again, not to be disrespectful at all, because any team that has LeBron James always has a chance, and they have played really well down the stretch here, and this is pretty much the same makeup of a team that did get to the Western Conference. But here's why. Last night, Warriors win. They move into the ninth spot. The Lakers now in the 10th spot. You got to win two play-in games, first of all, just to get to the postseason. And then guess what you get? Behind door number one, the Denver Nuggets in the first round if you're the eighth seed. How are they faring against the Denver Nuggets? Well, after the sweep last season plus losses this season, they haven't beaten them in 9 games. So it's a bad matchup in the first round for the Lakers out of the gate. They get no rest for an older team or older stars in LeBron and AD. So for me, that's what tells me I don't believe that they can make another run.
Retweet on that. And we've heard all year, Graz, the West is heavy, is deep, is very, 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 very good. I think Nikola Jokic used 4 varies the other night on SportsCenter. It's tough. It's tough. And Han, I know you couched your statement with no disrespect. It is the utmost respect to that conference this year,
yes.
Right? And the Denver Nuggets, y'all, we are looking at potentially the next dynasty. Like, since they've locked in since the All-Star break, they've been tremendous. Oh, yeah. And Nikola Jokic still remains to be the biggest enigma in terms of how you best stop him in the league. So, yeah, I don't see this one happening.
Yeah, especially if it's a first-round matchup. I mean, that's
your problem. Tough.
And you're going to have fought your way through the play-in.
If Denver wins, now, if OKC somehow wins the West,
yeah.
I'll give you a chance, but not against Denver.
Interesting. All right, well, we'll find out. Again, NBA playoffs coming up real quick. Also coming up on Get Up, could the Cowboys really be thinking about drafting Dak Prescott's replacement? We've got somebody in here who says yes. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. But first, it's sneaky hembo time for Harry Douglas. Harry, whose single-season Cowboys receptions record did CeeDee Lamb break last season? Another wide receiver question for Harry. Think it over and answer when we come back after this.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
You're watching Get Up, presented by ESPN Bet. And earlier we did the bowling eye candy, and we showed this guy, Anthony Simonson, picking up this ridiculous split. And as we were showing this in the break, Harry Douglas said, you guys should dig up a clip of me bowling from Hard Knocks. And so we did, and here it is. Here's Harry Douglas. There's Harry Douglas.
Relax.
Look at the
him.
Form.
Relax.
Turn around like, oh my goodness.
Strike him up, baby.
Was never worried at all.
It's a house ball, too.
Is it? All right.
It's a house ball.
Yeah.
See that spin?
I did see the spin.
Spin
I was very
for the
impressed.
Win. Spin for the win, Gross. I pick up my spare. I throw it down the middle of the lane.
It's a distinctive style. I got to give you that. The ball flies far and lands, but I guess you're getting it done. Although it didn't look like you won. It doesn't look like you just missed. Is that right? The scoreboard there?
Yeah, I lost that one.
Anyway, can you win this one? Trivia question?
I'm going to try.
Whose single-season Dallas Cowboys record did CeeDee Lamb break last year? Receptions. Not yards, receptions.
I'm still going to go with Michael Irvin.
Michael Irvin is correct.
Michael Irvin is correct.
At 111
catches
in 1995.
You and Jack with that nonsense yesterday with confetti everywhere.
Jason Witten got close in 2012. He had 110, but it was Michael Irvin's record until CeeDee Lamb shattered it last year with 135. Harry, oh, look at that. That's sweet. That's nice. Everybody's getting along.
Hello, Harry.
We are 13 days away from the NFL draft, and that's when we could finally see the Cowboys make their biggest move of the offseason. Currently has 7 picks in this year's draft as Dallas, and the first is number 24 on the first night. Our draft crew has some different opinions on what the Cowboys should do there. You see all these mock drafts have come out. Mel Kiper Jr. has offensive tackle Tyler Guyton. Field Yates taking Jordan Morgan. Everybody's got an offensive tackle there except Mike T, who thinks they should draft a defensive tackle in Byron Murphy. But I think what we were talking about earlier, right, was whether the Cowboys should think about drafting a quarterback. Given Dak Prescott's uncertain contract situation, Adam Schefter actually had some thoughts on this earlier this week. Listen to what he had to say.
What are they going to do at quarterback if they lose Dak? That's interesting. And that's why I think the Dallas Cowboys might just be a sleeper team in the quarterback market during the draft. Because at some point in time, they might have to draft a quarterback higher than you'd think, because Dak is going into the last year of the contract, and it might be time to get somebody in there to start grooming him. Just like they found Dak Prescott in round 4, might be time to go find another quarterback in another round to begin to get him ready.
Here's my thing. Everybody's been killing the Cowboys for not signing any free agents. Now you want them to draft a guy with a premium pick, presumably, that they're not even going to use this year? Does this make any sense?
Absolutely, and here's why, guys. It's the economics. I love Dak Prescott. He's a really good quarterback, has been for a number of years. But if his number on an average per year basis on an extension is $55 to $60 million a year, if you look at this graphic here, at 24, roughly, it's $3.6 million a year. So the question I have is this. Is Dak Prescott, over the next 3 to 4 years, roughly $55 million per year better than, let's say, a guy like Michael Penix? I don't think so. I think Dak's really good, but Dallas has backed themselves into this position where Dak's going to be an unrestricted free agent. They can't franchise him. And the only way for Dallas to sustain where they are is to have the next guy ready. They didn't try with Trey Lance. I don't get the sense that they think Trey Lance is the future. So keep putting resources at it. And to take a quarterback in the first round despite all the other needs, because of the economics of that extension, makes sense to me.
In the first round, you're taking a quarterback if you're the Dallas Cowboys.
I'm strongly considering it if Michael Penix is there, because I think Michael Penix has great upside, and I'm scared to death that if I sign Graz, Dak Prescott.
Graz, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not going to pay you $60 million a year. But if we pay Dak $60 million, can I still pay CeeDee Lamb, who just broke Michael Irvin's record, by the way?
That's right.
And
shattered.
And Micah Parsons. And that's the conundrum they have. They have great players. How do we keep as many of them as possible?
Dominique, help me out here. I know you're on my side. This is nuts, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's absolutely crazy. It pretends as if you can predict which quarterbacks are going to be good and not good. We understand that the Cowboys have underachieved in the playoffs recently, but they are one of the teams that we consider contenders, and they've been competitive up until this point. Blowing up on Dak Prescott, to me, suggests that they have an awful relationship with him. I like to believe that they have an understanding and that they're going to figure this out, and they're going to find a way to pay all the players that they need to pay, including their quarterback. If they want to start over, then go ahead and start over. But what comes with that is the risk of bottoming all the way out. The Cowboys have been there before. I don't think they want to go back. But if that's their choice, by all means, go ahead. And then Dak Prescott can go somewhere else and potentially win a championship with them.
Yeah, if we knew how all these guys were going to play, Dak Prescott would not have fallen to the fourth round in the first place. Yep. So he's the evidence of it. What do you think of this idea?
Yeah, I just think they have so many other needs on their football team. They lost two offensive linemen, Tyron Smith and also Tyler Biadasz, who's now with the Jets and also the Commanders. Biadasz is. You need a running back. You have to be balanced offensively. I think that's one of the things that hurt them now. What today's football tell us, if you're not balanced offensively, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. Point blank, period. When Kansas City had to run the football, they ran the football last season in the playoffs.
Do you think the Cowboys are set for a step back?
I do.
This year?
I do. But I got to give them credit because they have drafted well over the last three or four years.
Have.
But that's why I feel like, with especially your first three round picks, you have to get players that can make a difference or make an impact on your team right now.
Absolutely.
And I think where they deserve credit, they got Eric Kendricks. They have Tyler Smith, last year's first-round pick, that could go out to left tackle. They'll get a running back in the second or third round.
Sure.
They still have a question at center. So they have holes, as does every team. I don't think it's as pronounced as we think. Certainly the perception is.
Neek, final word on the Cowboys, if you got one.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me of so many other teams that get close and then don't make the proper decisions. You can't plan for the future. Winning Super Bowls are really hard. You kind of have to go all in when you think that you're close. Getting a quarterback that you can put on your roster, the opportunity cost, I think, is too high. They've already traded away one fourth-round pick for a shot in the dark at quarterback. It didn't work. You need to use these draft picks to put on players that you think can help you
now. By the way, $5.3 million guaranteed for Trey Lance this year. I think he's probably going to be on the team, and they give him another year to show what he can do. I think that's probably the most likely outcome here.
Both things could be true. He could be on the roster this year, and he may not be their future.
Interesting. All right, we'll see what happens with the Cowboys. We're also going to see what happens today on First Take at the top of the hour. Find out if the Lakers are the scariest team in the West, plus why the Celtics could be set for a playoff exit. We got more to do here on Get Up. First Take follows us at the top of the hour. Get Up is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN. UFC 300 tomorrow night in Las Vegas. Main card begins at 10 Eastern on pay-per-view, with the prelims at 8 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Deportes. ESPN Plus coverage begins at 6 Eastern. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Here's our best of the week.
It's time to get up, starting right now.
Let's go.
Here we go.
I present to you Pineapple Jack.
No, we just got on Get Up, so I'm not going to go crazy.
I'm trying to figure out who took a doo-doo on Merrill Hodges' front porch.
I'm sorry, what?
Like, oh, boy.
How about a little eye candy?
We feast our eyes on the fashion plate.
Your sport coat is eye candy for me.
That's exactly
okay.
Right.
That boy, bang.
Stephen A. usually comes in when he has a bone to pick with someone.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you looking forward to watching the eclipse, Tim Lake?
I am.
If it's going to get really dark, I just hope it doesn't happen while I'm putting.
The sun came up this morning.
You were 18G and I was 12 the last time the New York Giants had a 1,000-yard receiver.
Let Mel cook.
You just pointed out today is April 9th. Is that a Christmas tree behind you?
Let's take a moment. Let's
just relax.
And Robert, by the way, Happy New Year.
I'd love to have heard what he was thinking.
It's three words, and the first two are what the?
Bat for bat.
These two are something else.
Yeah, somebody's got to clean this up.
I need an Advil.
Jack's getting it cleaned up. Being careful, too. You don't want to suffer a head injury while cleaning. Fun week here on Get Up, and obviously a very tidy one as well. Thanks, as always, for joining us. We'll be back next week with more. First Take starts now.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much up.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.